Hi there, it's Wendy Snyder sitting in for John Williams, and we do have the Wintrust Business Lunch coming up at noon, but before that happens, we're going to talk television, because I love TV, and I know a guy who also does. Alex Zalbin joins us now. He is host producer over at comicbookclublive.com. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how are you doing? Always nice to chat with you, Wendy.
You as well. And it was really hard for me to go to bed last night because I watched Piper No on White Lotus, and then I watched The Righteous Gemstones, Piper No, and then I couldn't go to sleep because I was all riled up. Two of the greatest yet very different from each other's shows.
Yeah, once again, HBO has a killer Sunday night lineup. If people haven't checked it out, you can stream the season so far on Max. But The White Lotus, if you don't know, takes place with a mostly new cast in a different location each time. There's six episodes in, and there's still two more to go, I believe. It is a great season so far. Last night was maybe the most disturbing episode so far.
Yes, it was. I hate these people more than I've hated all the characters on the show.
I think it's helped by Patrick Schwarzenegger, who is playing an alpha male teen. You know, they have one of them every single season, but he does it so terribly, so well at the same time. It's so hard to watch him. And even the way that he's, mild spoiler here, but starting to get his comeuppance on the show is so disturbing and upsetting. It'll be interesting to see how the season turns out.
And it's weird because, like, he was on Top of the World. You love to hate him, but I got to tell you, he's very easy on the eyes. Well, now that things are turning around, he's not looking so good to me, you know?
No, he's really not. But the rest of the cast is so good on that show. I'm loving how everything is just completely crumbling apart the further we go in here. In particular, the trio of women, Leslie Bibb, Carrie Coon, and Michelle Moynihan, who are three old friends who
I hate them.
They still love each other the same way but are completely falling apart, are fantastic.
I hate them so much. Each and every one of them. I thought I liked one of them, but really they're terrible. Terrible human beings. Hey, if you want to watch a show about terrible human beings, The White Lotus is it. It's really good and mysterious, and I love looking at Thailand. It's beautiful.
And it's also very different from, you had mentioned, The Righteous Gemstones as well, which is a comedy midway or just kind of beginning its last season right now. And that's focusing on a family that runs a mega church. We're two episodes into that. It's hilarious. It's profane. But I will say, without going into any spoilers, I've seen the full season for this. It ends in a really kind of sweet way at the end here. So highly recommend checking that out. It also gives you a double dose of Walton Goggins. He is on both The White Lotus and on Righteous Gemstones. So if you love Goggins like everybody else, check out HBO on Sunday night.
All right. He has come such a long way. I watched him in The Shield and loved him. And then he was in Fallout and was so good. And this is the year of the Goggins.
I agree. I don't know if you're aware, and this isn't exactly TV, but he semi-seriously is released Walton Goggins goggle glasses, which are a brand of glasses that he's selling, and the whole selling point is just, I think, the name and the fact that Walton Goggins wears them. So he's on top of the world, and he's having a great time, and it's great to see.
Kids, if you have a weird name and you think you're not going to make it in life because of your weird name, ask Walton Goggins. He's doing really well. All right. There is a big show I want to talk about, but I'm going to save that for a second, because while we're doing HBO or Max or whatever, I loved Noah Wiley on ER. I really watched every episode of that show many, many, many moons ago. And he's back in action. He's an ER doc in Pittsburgh. He works in the emergency room. They call it The Pit, P-I-T-T. And I am loving this show.
It is so, so good. It comes from the same people behind ER as well. But they've really tried to make it different, and it feels different from ER if you loved it back in the day. At the same time, it's impactful to see Noah Wiley go from the young intern on his first day in ER to the guy who's in charge of VR on this show. So if you are a fan of the show, you're going to love it. But the thing that makes this a little different is it's a semi-real-time structure where each episode is 1 hour in a extended, now going to 15-hour shift in the ER. And you get to see them really just earnestly deal with everything that everybody is dealing with in the ER, from diseases to accidents to just general politics. It's phenomenal. It's intense. And they just kicked off their last batch of episodes with a mass shooting happens in Pittsburgh. The way they deal with it, it's so hard to watch, but so emotional and so wonderful at the same time. And again, without getting into spoilers, but with the last three episodes of the season, it was a great time to catch up because it only gets better from there. It's a phenomenal show, incredibly filmed, incredibly well done. And like you said, Noah Wiley is just an amazing anchor for an excellent cast.
Yeah, it's really good. It's very graphic. I'm thinking, you know, some of the surgical procedures weren't as in your face back in the day of ER, but now you're seeing everything.
They're definitely using that streaming landscape to stretch it a little bit. There was a graphic birth scene that was a couple of episodes back that they used prosthetics for, but it brought me back to grade school watching The Miracle of Life when they would broadcast that, and we'd be like,
Yeah, I had a baby, and that was not good for me to watch. It was, and conversely, I highly recommend St. Denis, which is another medical comedy, not a drama. And it's so funny because The Pit is really, really intense. And then you watch St. Denis. It's one of the funniest shows on TV with Wendy McLennan Covey, who was, of course, Beverly Goldberg. David Alan Grier is in it. And I can't remember that young actor's name who was also in Jury Duty, which was a really funny show. Do you know who I'm talking about? I can't think of his name. He's got a goofy name. He's a stand-up comic, and I think he was just in Chicago. I will find that out for you. But St. Denis is very funny. And for network television, I was talking to producer Pete earlier. That and Abbott Elementary are just really two of the funniest shows on network TV.
Yeah. The hospital is back as the setting. I mean, just as a little preview, on April 3rd, Netflix is trying their own hospital procedural called The Pulse. And that one is going to be probably a little less intense than The Pit. It leans more into the Grey's Anatomy, people having romances in the ER type thing. But that's going to be a bunch of episodes. 10 episodes will come out on April 3rd. So if you're loving the current state of hospital shows, there's more to come.
Yeah, I'm a hypochondriac, so I like to shout out the prognoses and, you know, let's get a drip stat. That's what I like to do when I'm watching. And Mecki Leeper is this guy's name, and he's a writer, actor, stand-up comedian, and he was in the viral series Jury Duty, which, if people haven't seen Jury Duty, I don't even know where to find it, Alex, but it is so funny.
Jury Duty you can watch on Prime Video now that Freevee has kind of gone away. That's where it originally broadcast. And I will say, I don't know how they're going to pull this off, but they are doing a second season of Jury Duty. I believe they've already filmed it. It's going to be a different setting, but it's the same sort of thing where it's not a prank show, but the idea is there's one guy who is a real guy and everybody else is actors. In the first season, that was set in Jury Duty. The second season is going to be decidedly different, but the same sort of concept of they're not pranking this guy because it's very positive. It's more they're acting around him. So it should be interesting to see.
It was so funny. All right. Tell us about The Residence. What is this murder mystery?
Sure. This is very fun. It's on Netflix right now, 8 episodes. It comes from Shondaland, which you know from a million different shows, from Bridgerton to the aforementioned Grey's Anatomy. But this is a very Agatha Christie-inspired mystery series set in the White House that is incredibly loosely based on a nonfiction book of the same name. But there are no similarity other than it mostly focuses on the staff of the White House rather than the president. Uzo Aduba, who you might know from Orange is the New Black and other things, plays a detective named Cordelia Cupp, and she is investigating a murder during a state dinner at the White House with Australia. But it's not a very funny. It's everybody Scandal style talking a million miles a second. It's got a ridiculous cast. Giancarlo Esposito is in it. Ken Marino, Randall Park. I could go on and on. But it's great. If you're looking for something that has nothing to do with current politics but is set in the White House, it's a great one to check out.
And that's on Netflix, The Residence. I got to watch that. I'm almost done binging Veep. I had never seen Veep. I had given it a couple of false starts. I couldn't get through it. And my younger son, Dylan, is like, Mom, you got to watch this. And now I can't stop. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is so horrible. She's so mean. But it's star-studded and it's really great. So if you haven't seen Veep, I highly recommend, listeners. I feel like I'm the only one who never watched it, but it's so funny.
It's one of my favorite shows ever, and it does take a little while to get going once the ensemble figures everything out, but it's so good, and that's another one that you can watch on Max right now. The whole thing is streaming there.
All right, cool. We are going to take a break, and then my innie is going to talk to your outie, if that's cool.
Sounds good to me.
All right, it's Wendy Snyder in for John Williams today. We're talking to Alex Zalbin, host and producer over at Comic Book Club. You can go to comicbookclublive.com. And I have really been loving Severance. I have some friends who tried watching the Apple TV Severance show, and they just couldn't get sucked into it. But I really feel they should revisit it, because this is one of the best shows on TV at this point. Would you agree?
It's absolutely fantastic. And for anybody who doesn't know, it just completed its second season. It's been picked up for a third season, which is great news because there's still lots of questions. But it's definitely something that goes against the, you know, a show to watch while you're making dinner type ethos that a lot of streaming shows have become these days. You've got to pay attention the entire time, and maybe that's what's putting some people off, because there are clues to what's going on in every single frame. It's so intricately constructed. I think it's absolutely wonderful.
I'm halfway thinking I should watch it again before the new season comes out, because I didn't pick up on a lot of the clues. Sometimes the opening changed a little bit and there were clues there. I think I'm missing every clue because I kind of don't really 100% know what's going on.
It's definitely a show that is very much helped by repeat viewings, and that is because they are so specific with the images they're putting on screen. Like you said, yes, the opening did very slightly change at the beginning of every episode. It also gave you clues to the entire season from the first episode onwards. So if you could kind of intuit what's going on based on what happened previously, that's certainly very helpful to understand. But it's also very easily, relatively speaking, bingeable. You know, 19 episodes, 19 hours certainly sounds like a lot, but people will sit down and watch the entirety of Friends three times through. So you can probably make it through two seasons of a television show. It's really well done. It's worth that. The one other thing that I'll say is the first season came out in 2022, and I know a lot of people re-binge that before watching the new season that just finished up. Fingers crossed, we'll see what happens. But they have said they really don't want a three-year gap between the second season and the third season. So hopefully those memories of what happened will be retained a little bit better. But yes, a re-binge or rewatch might be in order.
And, you know, Adam Scott is really good in this. Was he in Community or Parks and Rec? I always forget which one he was
Parks
in. Okay. There are a lot of memes going around comparing his character in Parks and Rec to Severance, because weird similarities. There is no connection. It's just kind of funny. But he does such a wonderful job in this. He really does.
Yeah, I think you're talking about, there's a clip from Parks and Rec where he talks about separating your work life.
Yeah.
Your home life, which is kind of the concept of Severance. It's a little bit off, but it's still very funny that he said it on a show many years before. But he's great. The rest of the cast is amazing. Patricia Arquette is a big weirdo, so she's very divisive, but she's a great actress. Christopher Walken, John Turturro, And then the rest of the main cast, Zach Cherry, is so funny on the show.
Yeah.
But I think the real champion of this season is Trammell Tillman, who plays Mr. Milkshake.
Mr. Milkshake. Mr. Milkshake is the best ever.
Oh, he's great. This is a little bit of a spoiler, but he's kind of known for his dance routines on the show. And recently, for the finale, had a panel at PaleyFest in Los Angeles for the series. And they did a little bit at the beginning where they said, oh, Trammell, I don't think he's going to show up here. And then he showed up with an entire brass band dancing and prancing through the auditorium. So even though it is a very serious show, which I think puts people off, also very funny at points. And I think that gets a little underplayed.
Yeah, he is the breakout star. I had never seen him before in anything. He's so good looking. I love the sound of his voice. He's calm till he isn't. and that's all I'll say. But please, listeners, Severance, you've got to give it a chance if you haven't seen it. It's just, it's done so wonderfully. And I am completely blown away by Ben Stiller directing this. I guess if you can do comedy, you can do, you know, serious drama, because it's really good.
Yeah, he's knocking out of the park, as is the rest of the team there. The guy, Dan Erickson, who's behind the show as well, is a fantastic writer and clearly thinking about all this stuff a lot. And I'll also give them credit. I was reading some things that is not necessarily part of the course. Adam Scott, at least, is in the writer's room a lot of the time and helping them out as well. So that sort of collaborative effort is always nice to see.
All right, that's Severance. A texter just texted in about Adolescence. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is probably the biggest show that is on right now, and it's a surprise to everybody, including Netflix and the people who are involved. It is a 4-episode series. Each episode is 1 hour long, takes place in the UK, and it focuses around a 13-year-old school kid named Jamie, who is accused of killing one of his classmates.
Yikes.
The show is very intense to watch. The content is very intense. But there are two things that make it really special. The first thing is that it's less concerned with, you know, being a pulpy true crime, oh, this thing happened, versus what it does to his family, what it does to the community in the school, what it does to the people around him, which is a very different take. It talks about toxic masculinity and the influence of Instagram, among other things. But the thing that's really blowing people away that I see to the end here is each hour-long episode is filmed entirely in one continuous take.
Oh.
So it's absolutely mind-blowing from a technical level. And this isn't, there's one episode, the third episode, that's mostly filmed inside of one room, sort of like a two-hand or a play. But we're talking about the big things where they drive in cars, get to a house, arrest somebody at a house, drive back to the police station, walk to the police station, do this whole thing. And the way that they pulled it off, you're going to want to immediately go online and just read about it, because there were things like they have drone shots that are flying over the town, and then the drone came down and a cameraman grabbed the camera off of the drone and keep filming. It's absolutely wild. So, phenomenal show, really hard watch, particularly if you're a parent. I did this, and I know other parents did this. You watch the show, and then you immediately go talk to your kids and be like, hey, you're being careful on Instagram, right? But at the same time, just watching it technically is absolutely mind-blowing. Do not miss it. It's on Netflix right now.
Adolescence on Netflix. And, Alex, unfortunately, we're out of time, but my crush is Seth Rogen, and the studio, you got to watch it. He is, it's going to be funny, right? And it starts March 26th?
Yeah, it's 2 episodes are premiering this week on Apple TV Plus. Seth Rogen stars as the head of a movie studio. It is star-studded. It's hilarious. It's 10 episodes. Everybody's going to be buzzing and talking about this. If you want to see the funniest Martin Scorsese performance of the year, do not miss the premiere of Studio this Thursday.
The Studio, Apple TV Plus minus, I don't even know what it's called anymore. All right, Alex, thank you so much. Always a pleasure talking to you.
You too. Thanks so much, Wendy.
Alex Zalbin, host producer over at ComicBookClubLive.com.